Hi, this is Pastor Steve Gascon from Arrow Lakes Alliance Church. I want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for listening to this recording of this message. I pray that it's edifying and uplifting. I also pray that it's challenging. And most of all, we pray that it's glorifying to God. So again, thanks, and may this service bless you, and may you be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, let's come together and pray to the Lord. Father God, you are great. You are worthy of all praise. What a privilege it is to come together and lift our voices to praise you. By your power, by your creativity, by your wisdom, you created all things. And Father, you created us. God, we thank you so much for this past week. We thank you for all the blessings that you've poured out on us. We thank you how you've kept us safe. God, we pray that you would continue to keep us safe. You would continue to keep us well. And Lord, we know even those of us who have had struggles and challenges this week, that you have been with us through it all. You have never left us. You've never forsaken us. God, I ask that those who are going through trouble at the moment, those who are struggling with health issues, whether it's physical health or mental health, I pray that you would remind them that you are with them. And God, for those who it's your will to heal, that you would heal them. God, we ask for wisdom as the regulations open up with this COVID-19 pandemic. We ask for wisdom, for common sense to prevail. Lord, we ask that you would give us the understanding for those who wish to continue to isolate and continue to stay indoors and away from people. And we also ask for the grace to work with those who are ready just to open everything up and go ahead. In all things, Lord, we ask for unity, for grace, and for peace. God, we pray for the world. We pray for the world leaders. Lord, we pray for the world economy. For all those who are struggling, we pray that you would undertake for them. And that during this time of struggle, it would actually bring people towards you. God, we pray for our village. We pray for those who don't know you. We pray that you would begin working in their hearts. You'd begin to work in them even now. That they would turn to you. That during this hardship, during this time where it's so obvious that life is so fragile and we have such little power and little control over our world and over our circumstances, this would cause hearts to turn to you. Lord, and that as those hearts turn to you, that they would find you. God, we pray for those who know you but aren't following you at the moment, who are on the outskirts. Lord, who haven't joined themselves to a local body, to a local church, for one reason or another, whether it's hurts in the past, whether it's thoughts that they don't need it, whether it's just busyness of life, pray that you would plug them in somewhere. Show them what a blessing it is to not only be part of your family, but to participate in that family. Lord, as we look at your word now, I pray that you would open it up to us. You would illuminate our hearts, illuminate our minds, that we may be conformed to the image of your Son. And we may walk in this world more like Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, there's a famous song by Ira Gershwin, and it's called "I Got Rhythm." And while you may not know the title, you probably know the song. And the chorus goes, "I got rhythm, I got music, I got my man, who could ask for anything more?" Right? You know that song. Yeah, now that you know it, it's been on commercials and things like that. And so the song then goes on to list all the things that the singer has. And it includes things like daisies and starlight and sweet dreams. And then repeats the refrain, "Who could ask for anything more?" The question sounds so strange now because the entire world, our entire world, is all about more, is all about bigger, is all about better and more, more, more. The Walmart slogan encapsulates it perfectly. Save money, live better. that your life will be better if you can buy more things. If you have more, that is a better life. And so we're almost always asking this question, how can I get more? But today, I want to go back to that old song. And as we read our scripture, I want us to be thinking, who could ask for anything more? See, it's with this question ringing in our ears that I want to read the next sentence of the book of Ephesians. And I say sentence because the next 11 verses in this book of the Bible written by the Apostle Paul are, in the original Greek, made up of one long sentence, which recounts and celebrates the actions of God and the blessings he gives us. So let's read the Word of God together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his will, with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. After reading that, who could ask for anything more? Of course, many who don't grasp what's being said here will continue to ask for more. Almost every cult and almost every false teaching about the Bible and God starts with the question of more. That there has to be more. There must be something else. The Bible can't mean what it means. There must be something more, some special knowledge, some hidden secret knowledge that needs to be revealed by an angel or something like that. That there must be some type of charismatic experience, something else that we must have and something else that we must do. I've heard people say to me that they know the promises of the Bible, but they just wanted more. To which I replied, well, then you don't know the promises of the Bible. Sometimes we'll look to other belief systems to shore up or fill up those places we think are lacking in Christianity. We might look to Eastern religions for peace through meditation or yoga, or look to New Age for experiences through Reiki or chakras. Or maybe we might look to psychics for knowledge about the future or knowledge about the other side. We want the spiritual blessings that we feel those things provide, and while they may provide something, they don't provide what God provides for us. They're at best a weak imitation of the real thing, and at worst a demonic counterfeit. For in this sentence in Ephesians, Paul makes this bold claim that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every single one. Nothing, there is nothing else to have here on earth that our God has not given us. Nowhere else to look. Everything that is good for our spiritual well-being and for our soul is found in one place and one place only, in Christ. And so today I want to encourage you through this message to find everything in Christ. To find all these spiritual blessings by drawing nearer to him, by going deeper in his word, and by fixing your eyes on him. For in the end, we do not pursue Christ in order to get the stuff that he gives us. That's a completely self-serving attitude. That is like pursuing my spouse, pursuing my wife, just because she makes the best chicken fingers. And she does. She makes the best chicken fingers. But we pursue Christ in order to gain Christ and to be found in Him, and so to gain everything. And it really is in this abundance of blessings that Paul writes to give us. Sorry, whoa, lost my place. It's really in this abundance of blessing that prompts Paul to write this amazing declaration of praise, of understanding, and understanding and believing these truths will bring us to the place where Paul is, where he starts this sentence, "Praise be to God." And throughout this section, we see the repeated theme, praise him for what he has done. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Praise is the result of his blessings. When we go through all that God has done for us, when we understand that we didn't deserve any of it, but that God freely gave it all, that he brought us into his purpose, into his family, that he chose us, adopted us, lavished his grace upon us, redeemed us, gave us wisdom and understanding, united us and sealed us for the future. Really, who could ask for anything more? And so verse 3 starts with the claim that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. These are blessings that have to do with heaven and not so much with earth, although we do benefit from them here too. Christians, this is a promise to believe. Whatever spiritual blessing you are looking for, it is given to us in Christ. Whatever longing you have, it is satisfied in the one true God. The contrast here is that while we may have and are promised every spiritual blessing, we do not have and are not promised every material blessing. When we talk about being blessed, we often think about our finances or our health or our family, the material things in this world. And God certainly does bless us in those areas. And honestly, he has blessed us and our culture so abundantly in those things. But what if we switched out our focus from the material things to the spiritual things, and saw how blessed we are in the spiritual things, and spent time talking and thinking on those things? See, so many times we're thrown around by the things that happen in this life. We measure our blessing based on what's going on in our life right at the moment. And on one hand, we read the words of Jesus that says, in this life we will have trouble. And then on the other hand, trouble comes in this life and we're surprised and bewildered by it. But why? Jesus has told us, in this life you will have trouble. So where do we turn to? Well, if we don't turn to Jesus, then we don't really understand or don't really believe these words that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. There's no need to look anywhere else, friends. There's no need to gauge yourself by the world. There's no need to assimilate other belief systems. We simply need to look to Christ. Our faith and God's grace is not deficient. We don't need to go around and take and borrow from other worldviews. We simply need to look to God. And so what blessings is Paul talking about here? Well, in the next verses, I see at least 6 examples. The first example is this. Chosen. Verse 4. If you are in Christ, you were chosen. Chosen by God before the creation of the world. This isn't like choosing teams at recess for dodgeball, when we choose the best player and the strongest player and we leave the weakest for last and we only take them because we have to. But that God chose you. Not because you were the strongest, but because of his love for you. I don't know all the ins and outs of why God chose who he chose, but I do know this. If you are a Christian today, it is because you were chosen by God before the creation of the world. And you were chosen for a purpose. And that purpose has nothing to do with your job or your dreams or anything like that. The purpose you were chosen for is to be holy and blameless in His sight. This is the purpose of God for your life. It's not complicated, it's not hidden, but it's clear and it's understandable. You are chosen to be holy and to be blameless. And both of those things are possible through your faith in Jesus and your life empowered by the Holy Spirit. The second blessing then is adoption. This choosing then becomes and matures into adoption. When we are in Christ, we are the sons and daughters of God, legitimate children in His family, and in line for the inheritance of eternal life with our Heavenly Father. One of the most important parts of this adoption is we can now pray to God as our Father, Abba, Father. And in that close relationship, we have the privilege of bringing all things to Him, knowing that He hears us and knowing that He desires to hear us. You are a son or daughter of the God of the universe. In this relationship, we can trust Him to know that He will give us what we need at the right time. And whether that what we need at that time is an abundance of grace or maybe it's a time of discipline. But both of those things are meant to bring us back to Him. Both of those things are meant to keep us on the right track. And so in both, we can rejoice and we can thank God for His goodness to us. Blessing number three is redemption. Redemption means being delivered from the slavery of sin. Jesus delivered us from sin by His work on the cross. Through His blood, He paid the price for our sin so that we could be free from it. Author J.M. Boyce writes that in the ancient world, a person could become a slave one of three ways. They could be born into it. They could become one by conquest. Or they could become one by incurring a debt that they could not pay. And it's interesting because the Bible speaks of being slaves in all three of those ways as well. Speaks how we're born into sin. Psalm 51:5 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." We're also conquered by sin as we commit them. Genesis 4:7 says, "Sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." And unfortunately, we fail at ruling over it, but we allow it to rule over us. And finally, we are slaves of sin through debt. We've loaded up a debt with our sin that we cannot pay, a debt to God that we cannot pay. And Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." But God. These are two of the greatest words in our language. That as we understand our depravity, as we understand our debt, as we understand our slavery, these two words come and they change everything. But God. See, the verse in Romans continues and the blessing in Ephesians confirms that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus redeems us from slavery to sin by giving us a new birth. He conquers sin for us and He fully pays our debt. In every way, we are redeemed through His grace that He has lavished on us. Blessing number four is wisdom. We have a deep desire to know things. We like to know stuff about stuff, especially if it's a mystery or it's complicated. And this is one of the big draws of the cults, honestly, is that they have a secret knowledge or claim to have a secret knowledge that makes us feel like they know something that others don't. And as humans, we like that feeling. And we like it because we have been made to learn things. We've been made to know things. And in fact, in this spot in Ephesians, it says that God reveals to us the mystery of His will. We've been created for that purpose, that God would reveal to us the mystery of His will and His being and His existence. But that gets twisted, and we like it so much that we will often not believe the simple explanation or the plain understanding of something if we have an alternative of something really complicated and really mysterious. In this, God has blessed us too. But not with secrets that are only for a select few, but with truth that is for everyone. Verses 8 and 9 said that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. He has given us wisdom and knowledge so we can know the reality about the world, the reality about people, the reality about heaven and hell. And he has given them to us through his word. See, Jesus went and he spoke publicly. He preached publicly. His word was shared publicly. It was not some secret. It was not hidden. And anyone who's preaching the gospel of Christ who needs to preach publicly, if they're preaching things that are hidden, that is only for a select few, that you can only see it if you were initiative, if you can only understand the deep things once you're in it for a long time, you only get to see these things, that's a huge red flag. See, we're not told every single specific thing. But we are told the grand plan of God. This great story of creation and redemption is laid out in the Bible. And it starts in a garden, in the Garden of Eden, and it ends in another garden, in the Garden of Revelation. And everything in between is laid out. Friends, you want real understanding? You want real knowledge and real wisdom about the world, about what it's really like, about what reality really is? Go to His Word. Study it and understand it. Blessing number 6 is unity. The great mystery of where everything is going and how will it all end is given to us. God's purpose is to bring into unity all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Just as our purpose is to be holy and blameless in His sight, God's purpose is just as clear. To bring all things into unity. To bring His creation and His creatures back into unity with Him. To purge the evil from the world and from the heavens once and for all so that all things in unity, all things are in unity under the reign of Christ who sits upon the throne. One day we'll have this unity. We know because the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. For now, He has blessed us with this unity in the church. The body of Christ. When we gather, every knee bows and every tongue confesses. This is a picture of the ultimate purpose of the Lord being played out in our lives right now. Even though we're not physically together and we come together virtually like this, our knees are bowing and our tongues are confessing in the songs that we sing, in the prayers that we pray, in the sermons that we listen to, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so in this, we get a picture of heaven, a picture of the ultimate purpose of God being played out in our lives. Blessing number 6, we are sealed. And see, of this future that we talk about, we are assured. Not only has God ordained it for the world, but He has sealed it for us. See, it says, when you heard and you believed. And really, this is the essence of salvation, hearing and believing, hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. If you want to call somebody to salvation, Charles Spurgeon said we don't need to run to prayer, we don't need to run to fasting, we don't need to run to even scripture reading. But what we need to bring people to is hearing and believing. Believe the gospel. Believe that it's true. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe, and you will be saved, and you will be sealed. When you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. When you buy a house, you have to put down some money. It's a deposit that holds the house until the final deal goes through and shows that you're a serious buyer. When we believe, God puts a deposit into us. The Spirit then indwells us until we are finally brought into God's full presence. And see, in a house deal, if you back out of the final contract, you could lose your deposit. But since this deposit is given by God and is God, the Holy Spirit, and He has promised never to leave or forsake us and can keep us until that day, we are never in danger of losing it. We have these blessings both personally and corporately. That is, we possess these blessings each individually, But we also possess these blessings as a church body. We live these out together. We are reminded of these things, and we are to remind one another of these things as we speak to one another, as we pray for each other, and in regular times as we gather together and sing of the promises of God with each other. God's plan and purpose is for you, but it's not just for you. His blessings are for all who would hear and all who would believe. And these blessings are obtained by being in Christ. This idea of being in Christ is repeated 9 times in these 11 verses. You can see all the verses that shows up, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, and 13. You can read back over them, highlight every time, or mark up. If you're one of those people who mark up your Bible, highlight or underline every time it says in Christ or through Christ. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who wrote a big commentary on Ephesians and did a huge sermon series on Ephesians, and I am indebted to him for his material, says that if we leave out the in Christ, you will never have any blessings at all. Every blessing we enjoy as Christian people comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while those apart from Christ may enjoy good in the world, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the same, that people who don't know Christ may be blessed by the common graces from God, these special blessings that the Apostle Paul is talking about here only come to Christians. And all these special blessings that only come to Christians only come in and through Jesus, and in and through Jesus alone. You cannot be a Christian without being in Christ. Christ is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and there are no blessings for Christians apart from Him. And all of this is according to His will. And all of this is for His praise. All these blessings, all the things He pours out on us, all that He has done for us is first and foremost according to His will. His plan will not be thwarted, it will not be stopped, but everything in all creation carries out according to His sovereign plan and His sovereign will. And that includes you, and that includes your past, and that includes your future, and that means you are playing a part in His play. You are working out a part of His plan. Your life is meaningful and important because God has made it meaningful and important. And it is all for His glory. You are not saved or blessed simply for your good, but so God can display His mercy and receive glory. He lavishes His grace upon us in order to exhibit His love to the world and to the glory of His name. For great is the Lord and worthy of praise. And so, friends, who could ask for anything more? What more could we ask for? Why would we go looking other places? We have everything we want, everything we could ever need, everything we could ever desire, every spiritual blessing we have been given in Christ. Let's grab hold of those spiritual blessings. Let's look to His Word and look to God first and foremost to fulfill those desires in us. We don't need to look around to other worldviews, other religions, other religious movements in order to find the spiritual blessings that we desire. We find them in Christ. John Calvin summed it up. Whatever happens to us, let us always assure ourselves that we have good cause to praise our God, and that even if we are poor and miserable in this world, the happiness of heaven is enough to appease us, to sweeten our afflictions and sorrows, and to give us such contentment that we may nevertheless have our mouths open to bless God for Him showing Himself so kind-hearted towards us to even adopt us as children. That God has redeemed us, He has chosen us, He has given us wisdom and understanding, He has brought us into unity, and He has sealed us. And so regardless of what we go through in this life, rest assured that we have every spiritual blessing. Don't lament the fact that you don't possess every physical blessing, but rejoice in the fact that you possess every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And so truly in this life or the next, we truly cannot ask for anything more. Let's pray. Loving God, together we have heard you speak to us, welcoming us, forgiving us, teaching us, challenging us. And together, Lord, we respond to you. And we have responded with praise and confession, listening to your word, praying in thanksgiving and intercession, and committing ourselves to you anew. It has been good to be together. As we prepare to leave and to go, we await your blessing. We ask that you would comfort us by the assurance that you will. By the assurance that you will be with us in this coming week. Continue to speak to us as we seek your face. Guide us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Keep us as we live our daily lives. And may we exhibit Christ. May we believe that we have every spiritual blessing. And may we grab hold of them. That we might live lives to your glory. According to your will. Because you are great and worthy of praise. So now, Lord, we pray, come, thou fount of every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.